What's written on the board, by the way? One verse or two?
Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Tasyai
namostu kasthayai. Yatratma haririśvaraha. Yadgatva nanivartante. Shanta sanyasino malaha. Tasyai namostu kasthayai. Yatratma haririśvaraha. Yadgatva nanivartante. Shanta sanyasino malaha. Iti te samyatatmana samahita dhiyo malaha. Upatastur Rishikesham Vaidra Vayubhojanaha
Yeah, can we do a mobile check, please, and kill all the mobiles? Let us offer our respectful obeisances unto that direction where the Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated, where those purified souls in the renounced order of life, the great saintly persons, go, and from which, having gone, they never return. Without sleep, fully controlling their minds, and living on only their breath, the predominating deities of the various planets began worshipping Rishikesha with this meditation. Purport. The two words tasyai kashtayai are very significant. Everywhere, in every direction, in every heart, maybe we can make it a little slower. In every heart and in every atom, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated in his features as Brahma and Paramatma. Then what is the purpose of saying tasyai kashtayai in that direction where Hari is situated? During Hiranyakashipu's time, his influence was everywhere, but he could not force his influence into the places where the Supreme Personality of Godhead had his pastimes. For example, on this earth there are such places as Vrindavan and Ayodhya, which are called dhammas. In the dham there is no influence from Kali Yuga or any demon. If one takes shelter of such a dham, worship of the Lord becomes very easy, and resultant spiritual advancement quickly takes place. In fact, in India one may still go to Vrindavan and similar places to achieve the results of spiritual activities quickly. Om Jnanati Mirandhasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Tasyai Namostu Kashtayai Yatratma Haririśvaraha Yadgatva Nanivartante Shanta Sanyasino Malaha iti te samyatatmana samahita dhiyo malaha upatashtur rishikesham vinidra vayubho janaha. The Andantarasta Paramanu Chayantarasta, the Lord is everywhere, but Vrindavanam Parityajya Paramekam Nagacchati, he never leaves Vrindavan. Yatra Sanihito Hari, he's always there in Mathura Vrindavan, but apparently to our vision he's sometimes there and sometimes not. That's our perception, but he's always there. He's always everywhere, but because of our lack of spiritual vision, we don't see him. But although he's everywhere, he has his particular abode, Goloka Vrindavan, where he's always present. So, Nama, we offer our obeisances unto that direction. Vrindavan is so sacred that we can benefit just by offering obeisances in the direction of Vrindavan. Of course, that idea is there not to compare Vrindavan and Mecca, but the Muslims have that idea. They offer their obeisances even from a distance to their holy place. So a similar idea is here, that we offer our obeisances in the mere direction of Vrindavan. Even if we can't come to Vrindavan, we can think about Vrindavan or that direction, and that direction itself is worshipable. Yes, the direction itself. Because Arajya Bhagavan Vrajesha Taneya Taddhama Vrindavana, the personality of Godhead is worshipable, and therefore his abode is worshipable. This is an interesting thought for those who subscribe to religious doctrines like Islam. They won't worship the form of the Lord, but they'll worship the place associated with the Lord. Or they'll worship the book which is supposed to represent the word of the Lord. So we're also worshiping the book associated with the Lord, the place associated with the Lord. But beyond that, then the Lord's qualities, they have that. Allah is this, he's that, he's this, that. Then why not form? If God has qualities, if God has a place, if God has words, then why can he not also have form and activities also? But we reject these things from a poor fund of knowledge, actually. Not only Islam, other Judeo-Christian, or as they say, Abrahamic religions, they generally reject the form of the Lord, either tacitly or explicitly. God has no form. Or that God's form is beyond whatever. Because they have no clear information of the form of the Lord. Of course, they say that it's not possible to know. Unless you go there, you can't know anything about his form.
Maybe they say that. Sometimes they say that. Sometimes they just flat out deny that he is a form. Either they deny it or they say it's unknowable. From that matter, we also say the Lord has no form. It means no material form. And he can't be known, his form can't be known, means it can't be known by any material means. But the Lord can reveal himself. Tanum Swam, what is that verse? It's in the Upanishads. Anyway. Nayamatma Pravachanena Labhyo Namedhaya Bahuna Shrutena. Then what's the next line? That's the one that I'm missing. Yeah, anyway. The personality of Godhead can't be known simply by lectures or by great intelligence. One has to understand him when he reveals himself. When he reveals his own form, then one can see him. So, these devotees were offering obeisances to the Lord's place. They're offering, or to the direction where he has his abode. That's as good as worshiping Krishna himself. His abode, his name. If God has a name, again, why not a form? It's just a question of a different sense. The ear is one sense, the eye is another sense. So why boycott the eyes? We accept that the ears can perceive God. We accept that the tongue can utter the name of God. Then why not the eyes see also? Why boycott the eyes? So that personality of Godhead is Atma, the Supersoul, and Hari Ishvara, the supreme controller of everything. And yadgatva nanivartante tadhama paramamama. When one goes to that place, one never comes back. And that gives you something for the question and answer session. But it has to be a new question or you can't ask. Yadgatva nanivartante. When one goes to that abode of the Lord, one is not obliged to come back. Abrahma bhuvana loka punarvartina arjuna. In the material world, every place is a place from which we have to come back down. But mam upechyate kauntiya punarjanma vidyate. When one goes to the abode of the personality of Godhead, one is freed from birth and death. So that abode is attained by those who are shanta, who are peaceful, sannyasina, who are renounced, amala, who are pure. Amalam, the personality of Godhead is pure, and therefore if one wants to approach the personality of Godhead, one must also be purified. Pavitra, he's the supreme pure. So we also have to purify ourselves by devotional service, by chanting the holy name of the Lord, by abhyantara suci. Iti te samyatatmanah. He can be attained by those who've controlled their minds, not who are under the control of the mind. And mind, atma, who've controlled the mind, who've controlled the senses. Samahita dhya. And those who have steady intelligence. Steady intelligence means intelligence directed toward Krishna. Vyavasayatmika buddhi ekeha guru nandana. And dhiyo amalaha, whose intelligence is also purified. Upatastur, Rishikesham. So they were worshipping the Lord, Vinidra, without sleeping, and Vayubhojanaha, taking only air as their food. So we can't do that, but we can take advantage of the methods meant for us. And Srila Prabhupada particularly points out that one can take advantage of the holy places like Vrindavan, where one can very quickly make spiritual progress. Of the different items of devotional service, Srila Rupa Goswami has pointed out five of them as being especially potent: to associate with devotees, to serve the deity of the Lord, to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, to chant Hare Krishna, and to live in a place like Vrindavan, Mayapur, Jagannath Puri. Any one of these is so potent that it will help us to make very rapid progress. And in our Krishna consciousness movement, we're trying to fill our life with all of these things. To chant Hare Krishna, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, associate with devotees, and either live in Vrindavan or make the place as good as Vrindavan, because Vrindavanam Pratyaja Paramekam Nagachyati, Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. So wherever Krishna is present, Vrindavan is also there. So when we worship the deity of the Lord, we invoke the Vrindavan consciousness, and we turn that place also into a place that's like Vrindavan, because it's permeated by pure devotional service. All right. Any questions? That is, any other questions? Yes. A microphone? Yeah, just on the other side of the pillar from you. Just go to the other side of the pillar, and there you are. It's not working yet. We're giving you a new microphone.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much for this lecture.
We're not getting any volume here. What's going on, tech guys? Okay, now we're someplace.
Maharaj, my question is that we do, it's about, right, we do Nirjala Ekadashi, we do Ekadashi and also many Vrata, Upvases, fasting. But the desire to eat food and the tasty foods does not eliminate in us.
Doesn't disappear. We still have a desire to eat tasty food.
We have desires, though we do all these fasting carefully and religiously.
Well, then the best thing is to be in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. If we want to be Advaita Vedantists and Tapasvis, then it will be very difficult, because no tasty food is allowed. Tasty food is Maya. But when tasty food is offered to the Lord and then accepted as prasadam, then the tasty food also will purify the heart. Tasty, we should understand what tasty means. Superficially, tasty means that there's, you know, nice spices, some this spice and that spice all combined together, and the vegetables are have a very good taste, and all the things come together, and it's tasty. And certainly Mahaprasadam has that characteristic, usually. provided the cooks know what they're doing. But more deeply, the real taste, or the more profound taste experienced from prasadam, is that this food has been first tasted by Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was relishing prasadam with his devotees, and he began speaking about this topic, that this food has been directly tasted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's touched his lips, it's mixed with his saliva. The same lips that are playing on the flute and attracting the gopis, those same lips have tasted this prasad, this food. So he just became immersed in ecstasy by tasting Krishna prasad and glorifying the virtues, the qualities of Krishna prasad.
That is right, Maharaj, we do offer. But when we prepare, we always say, okay, this thing is very nice, I'm preparing. Then we offer and we eat.
Yeah, well, that's all right. It should be nice. We don't want to offer Krishna just, the plainest of the plain things. If we have no other means, then we'll offer Krishna just as Sanatana Goswami was offering some bhati, just some balls of chapati, just atta balls, just thrown in the fire and not even any salt. So if we have no means, then we can offer that with devotion. But when we have means, then we try to make it very tasty, very nice, for Krishna's satisfaction. Just the whole thing is to think that that Krishna will enjoy. That Krishna should enjoy. Cultivate that consciousness. And we know, of course, that we'll also enjoy. But we should keep that in the background, deep background. Not that I'm thinking that I'll cook for Krishna in such a way that I'll enjoy very nicely. But we should try to cultivate that feeling that Krishna will enjoy nicely. Krishna, along with his devotees, his associates, will enjoy very nicely. And I may or may not enjoy, but Krishna will enjoy. Is that okay?
New question. Someone asked this question, Maharaj.
Excuse me, just while I'm thinking of it. So that's the taste of devotional service. Somebody I heard once asked Prabhupada what his favorite preparation was, and he said devotional service. At least I heard that. The story has been going around for quite some time.
Maharaj, someone was asking that we were in the spiritual world, but we came down here. What guarantee is there? We couldn't stay in the spiritual world. What guarantee is there? We'll stick to devotional service here.
Does it mean that you won't go unless you get a guarantee?
No, that was his question. That how?
So maybe it's up to you. If the rest of us would probably be willing to go even without a guarantee. But if you think, no, what guarantee? Then, all right, wait for a guarantee. Imagine someone's drowning in the water and you're about to save him. Wait, what guarantee? This slight chance is there that the living being may fall because of tiny independence. But the rule is that he doesn't. Yad gatva na nivartante tad dhamma paramam brahma. Now if you want to worry about that slight possibility, then stay here and worry about it. And everyone else will go, but you can stay behind and worry about that problem. Is that okay?
Hare Krishna. In this verse, specifically that Prabhupada is explaining about the influence of Hiranyakashipu, or time was not there in holy places of Krishna. So, and we offer obeisance to the direction of the holy places also. I am just asking, as a devotee, we stress on going to the pilgrimage to holy places. That's a part of our devotional life. At the same time, the places when we go, at least for myself, it just appears to be as everything is happening all over the world.
Seems like Hiranyakashipu has been successful since.
And
his descendants have been able to accomplish what he wasn't.
And we have heard that there is a small like covering on the real holy place, and we are just on the external. But then what exactly is the role of our pilgrimage to the holy place when we are actually not able to enter the real dham of the Lord?
Even if you're able to be on the surface, it's good.
You know, if you have to be out, just like we go to Puri, the Westerners, and we can't go in the temple, but just by seeing the chakra, we'll feel some satisfaction. Or maybe some prasadam will come out of the temple. So we don't mind, even if we're in the neighborhood of the temple, then we think that we're very fortunate. Hmm? Yes. And it's also a question of consciousness. Sanatana Goswami and Haridas Thakur, staying outside the temple, were more in the temple than so many who were in the temple. Although they were outside and others were inside, it was actually the other way around, because the minds of so many who were inside were actually outside, and the minds of those who were outside, like Sanatana and Haridas Thakur, were deeply absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So the real ability to enter Vrindavan depends on our consciousness. But even thinking about Vrindavan is the beginning of going there. Just like, you know, the Western, many materialistic Indians, they start thinking about going to America. And that's the beginning of going to America, is just to start thinking and desiring and wondering, you know, calling the American embassy and asking what the rules are, and inquiring from friends in America. And then if they stick with that consciousness, it may be that after some time, there they'll be in a degraded life in America. So the beginning is just thinking about it. So if we even think about going to Vrindavan, that's auspicious. And what to speak of, so like Prabhupada said that as a child, he was looking at the train schedules when the trains were going to Jagannath Puri. So that means in his mind he was already going. Just like planning a vacation, you know, people plan their vacations and they start thinking about where they could go and what they could do and what hotel they could stay at. And so they're already halfway there in their minds. Actually, sometimes they're more there when they're planning than when they go. When they go, there's, you know... They had their dream vacation before they went. And when they got there, it was... So, just thinking about Vrindavan is the beginning. And then if we actually go, still the place, being associated with Krishna, we may see or not see, but still will benefit. Penicillin, you understand it or don't understand it, still it will act. So just to have some touch with Vrindavan will help us. And if we render service, the real key is service. The real key to everything is devotional service. Bhaktya mama vijanati yavanyas chasmi tatvataha. One actually enters into Vrindavan by devotional service. So if we do some service, the real purpose is not seeing, because simply by seeing, you know, we'll see lorries and cassette wallas and so many things. But if we associate with a saintly person and render service, then we actually enter into the spirit of Vrindavan, or we actually enter into Vrindavan. Yatirta buddhi shalile nakaji karichet janesha bigyeshu shaiva gokura. Of course, even the cows and asses who are bathing in the Jamuna get spiritual benefit. But the human being is meant to benefit by associating with saintly persons, rendering service to them, and inquiring from them. That's the real way to make quick advancement in Vrindavan, not just by eye exercises. Is that okay? Something else? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Last few days I was reading an article from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj.
From who? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati?
The article was written by Srila Prabhupada. It was the last message, one of the last messages given by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj. And in that he had explained that there is no real love or hatred in this world. Rather, we should try to attach ourselves to the personality of Godhead. So, can you please explain this line?
I got it. What did he say, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati? There's no real love or hatred in the material world. Yeah. So what that means?
It was not, the material word was not there. It was there that there is no real love or hatred in this world. Rather, we should try to attach ourselves to the personality of Godhead.
Yeah, we're not interested in the love or hatred of this material world. That's the interest of the materialists. I love my country. I hate the enemy. This is for the materialists. I love my you know, I love what's mine and I hate those who are against what's mine. That's material consciousness, duality. Ichcha dvesha samuttena dvandva mohena bharata sarvabhutani sammoham sarge yanti parantapa. Living beings continue in material existence because of ichcha, material desire, and dvesha, animosity. Ichcha dvesha samuttena dvandva mohena bharata. Illusion and duality are outcomes of this desire and animosity. And by these, everyone is bewildered and stays in this material world. Prabhupada gave a practical example. He was writing in his old Back to Godhead about what was it? I guess it was that same point of nationalism, that love of my country means hatred of some other country. And it's going on, you know, I love my country, I hate yours, but you hate mine and love yours. So everyone's in some, and what is the meaning of it? It has no meaning, you know, I love my dirt, you love your dirt. So we have to give up this love of dirt. What is that? Swadhi, bhoma ijati, dirt worship. These are the asses. Yas yatma buddhi kuna petri datuke. Those who identify this bag of mucus, bile, and air as the self. yasyatma buddhi kunape jithatuke swadi kalatradishu, and those who think my wife and all of the expansions of me and my wife, they're my people. Everyone related to my body, they're my own men. And bhoma ijati, the dirt worshippers, those who think that the bhumi, the land of their birth, is worshipable. There was one American patriot who was killed by the British in the American struggle for independence. And his immortal words were, "I regret that I have one life to give for my country." So, of course, first of all, this is illusion because you don't know how many lives you have. And in your next life, which country are you going to give it for? The same person who regrets that he has only one life to give for America may, in the next life, give it for Britain. The person who is willing to give his life for India, in the next life, may give it for Pakistan. So, therefore, it has no real meaning. I regard as worshipable that which has no permanent existence and with which I have no permanent relationship. So this is bhoma ijati. Yat tirtha buddhi shalave nakarhichit janeshu bigyeshu saiva gokura. And now I've gotten so deep into that question that I forgot what your original question was. Oh, so about Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's quote. So ichcha and dvesha. As long as we're affected by I like this, I don't like that, I love this, I hate that, we'll have to stay in the material world, bound to these illusory dualities. But when we transfer our love to Krishna, then we can go back to Godhead. Is that okay? I think Krishnanand Prabhu had a question, which might be the last one, depending on time.
Maharaj, can you please elaborate on that part of the purport of Srila Prabhupada, where Prabhupada says that Kali Yuga doesn't, Vrindavan is not affected by Kali Yuga.
It's a very interesting, I was wondering about it. It's something to think about, because when you go to Vrindavan, it certainly appears to be affected ever increasingly by Kali Yuga. Prabhupada says, he could not force his influence into the places where the Lord had his pastimes. There are places like Vrindavan and Ayodhya, which are Tams, and there's no influence from Kali Yuga or any demons. Ayodhya certainly seems to have had its share of manifestations of the age of quarrel. And Vrindavan has all sorts of unsavory things going on there. So then what does it mean? It means that Vrindavan is deeper than all of these things. Just as Ravana apparently kidnapped Sita, but we learn from the Puranas that he only superficially kidnapped Sita, that is, he kidnapped Maya Sita, or the illusion of Sita, or the image of Sita. He thought he had Sita, but he didn't. So in the same way, if we go to Vrindavan, and some people do, they go to Vrindavan and they see pigs and they see sewage, and that's all they see, and they say, oh, it was a terrible place, I never want to go there again. That means they didn't see Vrindavan. They only saw the superficial, external appearance of Vrindavan, which effectively keeps them out. Those who are looking for symbols of eternal love in the material context go right past Vrindavan and reach Agra. And they, you know, what a beautiful place it was, and, you know, how deep the love expressed there, and, you know, and it's just, you know, two corpses. But that's their realization, that this is eternal love, that for eternal love you go to Agra, and if you go to Vrindavan, it's just a village with pigs and sewage. Of course, we see pigs in Agra, but they're all wearing sunglasses and carrying an American Express card. Premanjana Shrita Bhakti Vilochanena Santa Sadaiva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti. To see Krishna or to see Vrindavan, one has to have eyes with spiritual vision. Then he can see. And we're at time, right? It's time to stop. Some direction from the management? Do we stop here? We do, right? It's two questions? Oh, if there are two questions more, we could answer them? Okay. But there aren't. Nobody else is raising their hand. Oh, yes. Okay. You have to wait for the microphone.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, how to increase determination?
How
to increase determination?
How to increase determination? By associating with those who are determined. If, you know, just like some army troop is in enemy territory, or they're on some mission, and some person is not very brave, some member of the troop, but because he's following a general who's brave or a lieutenant who's brave, and his companions are brave, so he's also showing bravery. Or sometimes even the companions are not very brave, but by mutual encouragement, they get the spirit to keep going. Any one of them on their own would have just turned back or wouldn't have gone, but because they're in a group, they cultivate that determination, bravery, and so on, because they're keeping a goal in mind, and because they're reinforcing one another's spirit. So if we associate with devotees who have their minds fixed on Krishna and who are sincerely endeavoring, then we'll also pick up those qualities, and especially if we can associate with those who are advanced in devotional service. Last question? That was the last question, right? All right. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.